This morning, our gospel reading is packed with so many concepts, and we have a verse in this reading that is well known. It may, in fact, rival Psalm 23. It is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There are some words in this one sentence of Scripture that can encourage, perplex, offend, or scare us. Josette Bassler, writing on this passage today, asserts articulately what is shown: God's extraordinary love for the world, God's desire to save the entire world, human responsibility for the outcome, and a connection between believing and moral actions and God. We kind of lose the progression of what is happening in this reading today. We are still hearing the narrative of Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus. At the beginning of this chapter, Nicodemus has come by night to see Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a leader in the community. He is curious about who this Jesus is, but maybe feeling a little trapped by his day job and his reputation in the community. So he sneaks over to talk to Jesus at night. It is clear from their interaction that Nicodemus is figuring out how to respond to Jesus. This helps us take in our spiritual paradigm. God loves us, God shows God's power toward us, but God also confronts us, as we saw last week with the overturning of the tables. And we hear this again today when Jesus says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world." That word for judgment in the Greek is where we get our word for crisis. The word in the Greek is crisis. So it's this moment of disequilibrium that demands response. As we're traveling through Lent, we're underlining the reality that our Christianity is corporate, what we do together on Sunday mornings, but it is also personal and propositional, necessitating a response. As Nicodemus may be trying to decide how to respond to Jesus, while his paradigm of spirituality and really his whole life is being confronted, Jesus invites Nicodemus to the action of belief. In our John passage today, the word believe is used 5 times. The word believe appears in the Gospel of John more than any other New Testament writing. Interestingly, in the Gospel of John, the word faith is not used at all. Believe is a verb implying action in contrast to the noun faith. Believe harkens us back to our Old Testament narrative today. In this part of the people's journey, the people are weary and worried. Moses is not trying to get anybody to adhere to some theological treaty. He is literally trying to get them to put one foot in front of the other, to move their feet. Action. Go to the promised land. The response of believing is not scripted. Our God relates to us as individuals. God relates to each of us. God created us and knows us. Consider the thieves on the cross on each side of Jesus. As Jesus is before them, and they respond, both of them, but really in different ways. They have a conversation while all of them are on the crosses, condemned to die. We read in Luke, the one thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Believe is a wide response, and it is between us individually and God. For those who left Egypt, believe was the action of placing one foot in front of the other. For Nicodemus, we hear that it was to decide to move from darkness to light. This may have been literal and metaphorical for Nicodemus. He was afraid and hiding, and he needed to bring his faith into the light and practice it publicly. And for the thief on the cross condemned to death, it was a simple appeal having encountered the Savior. Remember me. What a wide place the response of belief is. No heroic gestures, but authentic, individual response. John 3:16 implies that we need help beyond our abilities. This has to do with the reality of sin. But as Honer and others assert, Jesus would have come if there had been no sin. Jesus comes to save us, Jesus comes to reveal God to us, and Jesus comes to teach us how to live. Yes, Jesus is Savior, and Jesus is so much more. In the wide lens, we may describe what Jesus has done for us as saving us from the trajectory our lives may go in. Sin is a loaded word for many of us. It is a word in its etymology that has to do with the momentum and direction of our lives. Our persons are dynamic, not static. The momentum of our lives are always moving in a direction. There is no standing still. We are always, as we speak of spirituality and religion, moving toward God or away from God. As we consider this, we see that the momentum, actions, and behaviors of our lives, really the definition of character, mark a moral dimension of our faith. Aristotle would call this the good, that which contributes to human flourishing. Sin is so much a part of us, we take time each week in our services to confess our sin and receive God's forgiveness. But we cannot reduce Jesus down to only being about handling sin in our lives. In our Christian faith, as we have talked about before, we are eternal beings. This passage speaks of this. This is regardless of our response to Jesus. We all will exist forever. Life and death from a faith lens have to do with connection to God. A believing response to Jesus results in God's dwelling in us and our participation in the life, the abundant life that God came to give us. Christian spirituality is about union with God. God extends to us the quality and character, the stuff that exists between the Trinity. That's the abundant life and relationship God offers to us. In our now, we can partake of that. To not believe, either passively or actively, is disconnection from God. Since we are already eternal beings, our eternal life with God or without God are both now. The quality and trajectory of our lives depend on our response to Jesus' invitation, to action, to believe. Let us come back to Nicodemus and Moses and the people. What is amazing is we can come to God just as we are. We can be all right or not all right at all, or someplace in between. We can come secretly, in fear of our reputations, when we feel trapped by our community, when we, perhaps like the thieves, feel condemned. We can come to God when we are weary, worried, angry, demanding, entitled. We see in both of our narratives today that God is accessible and God is responsive. God helps us with what we need. We just may not always agree with God about what we need. We can be fully human and do our best to put our lives on a trajectory toward God while we contribute to the human good. Not to earn anything, not because we're afraid of anything, but just because, or maybe, to show love to God. God offers us so much. I'd like to close with stringing together the concepts of John 3:16, what it would sound like if they were strung together. God loves all that God created so much that to help us when we could not help ourselves, God gave Jesus to us. not just to solve our problems, but to show God's love and to teach us how to live. God desires our belief in individual response in the integrity of our hearts, and God keeps giving to us by living within us so we may share in the abundant life now and forever. Amen.